Treat dad to the good stuff at Nordstrom Rack and save big. Father's Day is Sunday, June 16th, and Nordstrom Rack's got gifts dad will love, up to 60% off. Shirts, activewear, watches, cologne, denim, and more. Find amazing deals on Tommy Bahama, Cole Haan, Original Penguin, and Vince. Great brands, great prices. So get to your Nordstrom Rack store now and make dad's day with gifts up to 60% off.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
And welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I'm very excited to welcome, for the first time to the show, the incredibly talented, knowledgeable, smart, charismatic, handsome. I'm big into introductions on the show, so we're going to keep going here. Charismatic, handsome, funny, Ted Wynn from The Athletic.
Appreciate the hype. I got to hire you as my hype woman. That's a great intro.
You're welcome. I think it's important to do a nice intro. Then the guest immediately feels at ease and happy to be here. I appreciate people's time. So intros have become my thing. When the mats are on, whether it be Barrows or Mayoko, they always want to confirm which mat is the most handsome. And so who am I referring to with that? So that's like a thing. But you're the first 10.
I'm going to start calling the mats too.
You should call them the mats. It's very efficient when necessary. So Ted and I were at 49ers HQ on Wednesday talking with the assistant coaches, and it was the first opportunity that the Bay Area media has had the chance to talk with Joe Staley, who is the 49ers assistant head coach. There's been a lot of discussion about that. I think it's interesting because Anthony Lynn was an assistant head coach and everybody just kind of accepted that and moved forward. But with Joe Staley, it is different. His background certainly is defense. He is not the defensive coordinator.
Brandon Staley.
Did I say Joe?
You said Joe Staley. You're used to the Niners left tackle. That's why.
I am used to by the way, the Niners left tackle, Joe Staley, is not an assistant coach of the 49ers. Did I say Joe the whole time?
You were.
May I just say that if Joe Staley gets hired on the 49ers coaching staff, he should thank me because I have manifested it today on this podcast. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So we're going to go back to calling him Brandon Staley. I'm not even going to edit this out because I think it just kind of fits and makes sense. And I think it'll be kind of interesting as the year goes on how often that happens. But Brandon Staley, who's the assistant head coach of the 49ers, his background, of course, is in defense. He was the head coach of the Chargers. The 49ers promoted Nick Sorensen from within to be their defensive coordinator. So there was a lot of conversation on how this was going to work. And Kyle Shanahan's addressed it. Nick Sorensen's addressed it. But like I said, Wednesday is the first chance we had to talk to Brandon Staley. So what were your initial impressions and kind of him and how you think this role is going to work?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons I came to Niners practice or the coach breakout yesterday, because I was, you know, one of the more intriguing stories is what Brandon Staley's role on this staff is going to be, because I mean, it's a very interesting title, assistant mm-hmm. head coach, not even of the defense. It's just assistant to the head coach, comma, defense.
It's assistant head coach / defense. That's the official title.
Yeah. And he's not the defensive coordinator. I think that's very clear. He's going to be just kind of a guide, and I think he's going to work more with the secondary. Mm-hmm. I talked to Chris Kasorik, and he made it very clear that the Niners are going to remain an attacking front. And I thought that was one of the questions coming in. I mean, I think it was on the, it seemed like the answer was always going to be that they're going to remain an attacking front single gap team, because it's been such a big part of their identity throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But I thought, maybe with Brandon Staley coming in, who is kind of from that Vic Fangio world where they like their defensive line to play a little bit more passively, play a gap in half instead of just one gap, where maybe they kind of have some of that technique or use some of that technique or some of that style of run fitting with what the Niners do. But he made it very clear that they're going to do what they do. And I think Staley's going to help out more with the secondary. I thought it was interesting talking to Daniel Bullocks, the secondary coach. Mm-hmm. He said Staley helps provide a perspective of the offense. So he kind of will look at, whatever defense they're running and look at how offenses might attack them. And, mm-hmm. He's just kind of helping out the young coaches and kind of filling in the gaps of, different coverages that the Niners are a cover three team. But they also run a little bit of quarters, and Staley's from that quarters world. So if mm-hmm. they want to expand on running that type of coverage, Staley's a great resource for it. It's very clear Staley's not the defensive coordinator, but his experience and knowledge is just going to help supplement the staff.
And it's interesting. I want to talk more about the secondary in a little bit, but going back to something that you said is that he can provide, what is the offense thinking here? Steve Wyche was on the show a few weeks ago, and he had talked to Kyle Shanahan at owners meetings. And one of the things that came up is that Brandon Staley, and Brandon Staley touched on this yesterday or on Wednesday. Kyle Shanahan said that he will also be able to provide for Kyle what is a defense thinking, and he will get to be a sounding board for him in that way. And Brandon did touch on that. And I think that's a whole other aspect of the job, that the assumption is it will be all defense, but I think he will work pretty closely with Kyle to bring that perspective. And if you can have that perspective, that is really helpful. So it's just going to be kind of interesting to see how this hybrid role goes. I don't get the sense, and I think when he was first hired, there was this concern, quote unquote, or idea that, well, what happens if there's a disagreement? Who's right? Brandon Staley or Nick Sorensen. And I don't think that's going to be an issue. That's not really what his role is. His role is to provide perspective, to provide some insight and knowledge. And as you said, he'll work a lot with the secondary, which the secondary is interesting because it's an area on the defense that the 49ers had not historically put that many resources into. I'll put it that way. When they signed Charvarius Ward, that was a huge signing for them. They really had not signed a corner of that caliber, or given a corner that kind of money. And it showed at that time that they needed to upgrade the secondary. Obviously, they had Richard Sherman late in his career, and he was fantastic. But giving that money to Ward sent a little bit of a message. But then over the last couple of years, in other areas, they've made it work. Diamador Lenore has turned out to be an excellent corner. And he and Charvarius Ward are all going into the last year's, or both going to the last year of their contracts. So the secondary was interesting this offseason. They signed three corners. I think the feeling on Chase Lucas is it'd be more special teams than anything else, but it's still three corners. And they draft a corner in Renardo Green. That just tells me that room is going to look very different this year. And in talking to Nick Sorensen and talking to Daniel Bullocks, it sounds that way as well.
Yeah. The Niners have so much money poured into, certain positions on offense, mm-hmm. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, that, you're not going to be able to spend a ton of money with the corner position. I mean, I know they awarded Ward with a big contract in free agency, But it's just not a position where they're going to be able to go out and spend a ton of money on a number two corner. So you really have to depend on, you know, kind of the tier two, tier three type of free agents. And you hope that one of the young guys you drafted can come in and provide a baseline play and, you know, hopefully a little bit more. So we'll see what Ricardo Green could do. And
Renardo.
Renardo Green. Sorry. And
Ricardo and Joe Staley have totally different. Yeah.
They're not too happy with us on this podcast right now. But I mean, we'll see. You know, it's going to be a training camp battle. And obviously, they're looking for a guy that could free up Lenore to play the nickel position without having to bump outside.
And they feel with Green, it's interesting. They've said, Sorensen said this when we spoke with him a couple weeks ago, that the plan is to start him inside and see, because it's they'd like to free up Lenore to do one of the two. They'd like him freed up. So they'll start with Renardo Green, see what he can do. They know what Lenore can do at that position. I think in a perfect world, they probably would like to keep Lenore on the outside. As good as he is at nickel, he's really been a tremendous outside corner for them. But we'll see what happens with Renardo Green. And they've spoken a lot about Sam Womack, and they feel like he improved a lot last year. Maybe we didn't get to see it so much, you know, with playing time on the field, but they felt that he improved a lot. And then, of course, there's Darrell Luter, who, you know, injury hampered the first part of his rookie year, and he didn't get as much playing time. But when he was in there, he played fine. And, of course, there's the unfortunate special teams incident in the Super Bowl, but I don't think that that's just an unfortunate incident. That's not. And so they have some fair amount of options there, and they seem to really like Isaac Yiodom. They feel like this guy could compete if necessary to be on the outside, if could be the person that frees up Lenore inside. They like him a lot.
Yeah, Green moving inside is pretty interesting because he's a press physical corner. He played a lot of outside corner in college. But, you know, I thought it was interesting the Niners drafted him because they're not really a press man team. Mm-hmm. But if they move him inside, he would play a little bit more press. And, you know, you could see that physicality show up in run defense a little bit more. So that'll be interesting to see how that transition happens. And maybe playing inside might be a little bit, might fit his skill set a little bit better.
And I think just as they know what they have in Lenore, I think what this does is they know what Green can do on the outside. So especially like in training camp and preseason, it could give them an idea. So they, you know, just look at what they have. But clearly it is an area that needed to be upgraded. It's interesting to me that Brandon Staley will be working mainly with the secondary. That is, of course, his background. But it's interesting that they said that. To me, that room is just going to look very different. Obviously, the defensive line is going to look very different. I kind of feel like Chris Kocurek is like, he's just like a coach molding clay, and like all these new guys come in, and I just feel like he gets very excited to be like, what can I do with these guys and how can I make them better? Because historically, he does seem to make everyone that comes and gets coached under him significantly better.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, Leonard Floyd basically replacing Chase Young, I think, it's going to be a good move. I know, you know, Chase has that ceiling, obviously being a top draft pick. But, you know, there were some problems with his technique last year, some problems with his effort. And Leonard Floyd is just a solid player that's going to be able to contribute and provide a very strong baseline in run defense and as the pass and with the pass rush as well.
It's so interesting with ceilings, and we don't need to talk a lot about this because he's gone. But I do think with Chase Young, in theory, there's a ceiling, but I also think in theory, I mean, apparently the Saints don't feel the same way I do, but I also think in theory, if you look at the aggregate of his career, I know there have been injuries, but he's just never even come close to hitting that ceiling. And so at a certain point, you say, like, this guy is just not what we thought he was going to be. Clearly, the 49ers said that. But it's effort. You use the word effort, and I think that was something that was an issue. You know, that was an issue in the NFC Championship game of all games. It wasn't just Chase Young, but there were some defensive effort issues that after that game, Steve Wilks, John Lynch said they've been addressed. It won't be a problem again. But I feel like they also addressed them in the offseason by making some pretty big changes, you know, along that line. And I think they're going to be making some more changes, as we've discussed, in the secondary to keep that from happening again.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Kasorik said something interesting yesterday that kind of, I mean, we all kind of know this, but your scouting report never dies. Like if a team has a first round scouting report on you or a top five mm-hmm. type of scouting report on you, they're not going to give up on you. You know, even mm-hmm. if you fail somewhere else, they're going to believe that they could come in and help fix you. Because Kasorik, you know, he mentioned like he had a very high opinion of Leonard Floyd when he was mm-hmm. coming out in the draft, which is one of the reasons that, you know, it was attractive to kind of bring him in. And obviously he's not disappointing. He's had a pretty good career, mm-hmm. but just thought it was interesting. And I think, you know, Kasorik is going to continue to bring guys in that he really liked in the draft, even if they haven't worked out elsewhere, because he feels like he's going to be able to coach these guys up and get the most out of them. And he's mostly been right.
I think Leonard Floyd gives them someone on the opposite side of Bosa, an upgrade that they really haven't had since D Ford, who was very, you know, hampered by injuries in his career, unfortunately. But they really haven't had somebody on that other side. So I think Leonard Floyd does, in fact, provide that. But a perfect segue, since you bring that up, I talked to Johnny Holland about Devondre Campbell. And that's the 49ers linebackers coach. For those of you that are not maybe as so ingrained in this, they just throw out names and they know who all the assistant coaches are. But Johnny Holland, of course, is very well known. But he talked about Campbell and said that he was really high on him when he was a rookie in 2016 and has kept a close eye on his career and was really excited that they could bring him in. He feels he really fits their style, their system. Campbell's been very vocal on social media that he's like having the time of his career thus far, mm-hmm. yet to play a game, but thus far in Santa Clara. But that position becomes important because we don't know how long Dre Greenlaw will be out to start the season. He could be ready, but chances are it'll take a little bit of time. And I think it provided, they've had depth in the linebacker room and they've had decent depth who provided quite a bit of special teams play, whereas I think Campbell potentially gives them really good depth, which they need. You know, they used to have the top three linebackers in the league, in my opinion, with Fred Warner, Azeez Al-Shaair, and Dre Greenlaw. The top linebacker group, I shouldn't say top three linebackers league, but top linebacker group. And, you know, it remains to be seen. I don't know that Campbell's career has showed that he's maybe to that caliber, but we'll see here if he feels like he's going to be used the right way. He's been very vocal about that as well. If he can really be that third guy and sometimes that number two guy when they need him to be.
Yeah, I think the number three linebacker spot was a problem for the Niners last mm-hmm. year, especially you know, teams would get into heavier personnel to get them to get into base and kind of take advantage of matchups that way. And getting a guy like Campbell, who is big and physical, that could help with the run defense, because mm-hmm. the run defense took a big nosedive last year, is pretty important, especially with Greenlaw expected to be out for a good portion of the season. So mm-hmm. I think that was a good signing at the time. And I think Campbell was up and down in Green Bay. You know, there's times where he just made some big mental lapses. He has
who among us, out. Ed? Who among us exactly. have not made some big mental lapses?
Especially in this podcast when we can't get people's names right.
100%. Joe Staley, congratulations.
Yeah, you have a new job. And I apologize to Ricardo Green.
Bernardo. Bernardo.
but yeah, you know, I think Campbell is just a big athletic guy that they're hoping that could be a little bit more consistent, you know, playing next to Fred Warner and having a guy like Greenlaw mentor him. Obviously they have very good leadership on his defense, and you know, that they're hoping he could be a little bit more consistent with this team and provide a little bit of a little bit more run defense help than they had last year.
Speaking of leadership on defense, obviously Fred Warner provides that tremendously. I don't believe, if memory serves, I don't believe there's been an OTAs he hasn't been at in his career. But this year, the 49ers have Nick Bosa at OTAs, which is new. And we spoke to Nick Bosa on Tuesday, and he said he and Kyle talked about it, and there were reasons Kyle wanted him there, and he felt that he should be there. And part of that, of course, was because there are so many new faces and names along the defensive line. So that provides a certain type of leadership. But it was notable. Maybe partly also Joey Bosa is in LA because he has a new coach in the great, an amazing and perfect Jim Harbaugh national championship winner with the University of Michigan. But so it could be, you know, partially because of that too, because Joey was going to be gone anyway. But, you know, that was a notable thing. And Brock Purdy made the joke that, you know, it makes guys think, well, if Nick Bosa is taking it seriously, we all are, and we all should. And he was half joking. But I think for some of the younger guys, there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It does, I think, change the tone when you have a star as big as Nick Bosa being at OTAs. And, I don't think not being at OTAs was all, you know, him just deciding to take that time off, right? I mean, there was
no injuries, not at all. There was contract situations. There was, and he and Joey, they historically trained together in Florida. Like, so it wasn't like he wasn't doing anything, but you're right. There was COVID, there were injuries, there were plenty of things, but still significant that he's there, but correct. This was certainly not him being like, I'm going to be on a beach drinking margaritas and I'll see you in September.
Yeah. But it just always helps when you have all the team leaders there and, you know, just kind of up the ante a little bit.
George Kittle is there not participating. He's obviously recovering from the core muscle injury surgery that he had this summer. Fred Warner was there, not participating, but there. Debo Samuel was there and participating. And obviously a couple years we didn't see that because there was the contract stuff, but he was there sporting his new number. And I think from a leadership standpoint and a vet standpoint, it was really important he was there. And also I think important for him as a player, but with Brandon Ayuk obviously not there right now because they're figuring out the contract extension. Juwan Jennings is not there yet. So you've got Debo Samuel and a bunch of really young receivers in that room. Ray McLeod is not there anymore. And so I think having that veteran in the room, again, having someone of that caliber is helpful, especially for Ricky Pearsall, especially for maybe a Jacob Cowing who was not there on Tuesday. But, you know, I think it's just not a bad thing when you see the superstars there. I'm not saying them not being there is the end of the world, but I don't think it hurts. Christian McCaffrey was not there, but there are reports that is not contract related. Kyle Shanahan kind of tiptoed around it a little bit, but kind of interesting just to see how that continues and how that plays out. And mandatory minicamp is in a couple weeks. I assume we will see him there, but no Christian McCaffrey this week. Probably going to end up being much ado about nothing, but certainly something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at his contract, you could see if he was a little disgruntled, you could kind of see why, just because his yearly salary doesn't match up with some of the top running backs in the league. And you can make the argument that he is the top running back in the league. And he might be more valuable to this offense than any running back is to their offense in the league, just because of all the things he can do and the ways that Shanahan really takes advantage of all his entire skill set.
I would say he's as valuable to this offense as any member of the offense. I think we saw that from the time he got there and how things changed and developed. I think we even saw it in the MVP conversation last year. Is it him or is it Brock? And we could go on and on about that. It was neither of them, so it didn't matter. But we could go on and on about that. But I would say he's as valuable to this offense, in my opinion, as any player on the offense. So
yeah, and it's tough when you know that, and you look at Debo Samuel's making $20 million, and then you look at George Kittle with his salary, and then you look at Ayuk, who's going to get paid, and then you look at Brock Purdy's going to get paid, and you know your value to the offense. And, you know, I think he's getting paid like less than $12 million a year right now. So that's tough, you know, when you're running back and you know how valuable you are, and you see guys getting paid, you know, almost twice your salary.
Absolutely. And fair. I can understand why you would not love that. Now, again, the reports are that that's not why he's not there, but I certainly think it is worth keeping an eye on. But that being said, I read something this morning, and I didn't have a chance to talk to Bobby Turner on Wednesday, but read something this morning that he said that's the business part of it, and I'm staying out of that. So I don't know. We'll see. There's a variety. We'll see next week. Is Christian there? More importantly, is he at mandatory minicamp, which I'm sure he will be at. But again, I did not speak to Johnny Holland. I'm sorry, to Bobby Turner personally on that, but I saw a headline, which
I was there. I saw him say that.
You said, okay, so this is, so this was one of the things I said to Ted before we came on. There's a lot of coaches. You only have so much time and we don't always all get to everybody. And so Ted was actually there when he said it, confirmed by Ted. Yep. So that says something. So this is worth keeping an eye on. All right, before I let you go, let's just take a very quick overview. We do not have to go game by game, but kind of an overview on San Francisco's schedule in the fall. It's a lot of travel. I booked all my travel yesterday, and which I, by the way, took a lot of concentration and not mental lapses, because I can't tell you how much I want to be like, this is very annoying. But booked all my travel yesterday. It's a lot of miles. Of course, there's been conversations about the rest differential, that they have multiple teams coming off of a bye. But, you know, all that aside, you know, what do you think of this schedule, and how do you think the 49ers will fare in it?
See, I have to pull it up because I did not take a close look at the Niners schedule yet.
I can just give you each game. We don't have to go like game by game.
Yeah.
But if you want, I could do a quick, we could do a very quick like lightning round. I say the game and you give me like win or loss.
Okay.
All right. First game at home Monday night versus the Jets.
Win.
I'm putting my glasses on for this, guys, so I don't mess up. Next game on the road against the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to say loss.
Listen, if JJ McCarthy's playing, I guarantee you it's a loss.
That's a Sam Darnold revenge game.
Well, or JJ. Or JJ. Yeah. But yeah, probably a Sam Darnold revenge game. That would be really something. Can you just imagine for a second 49ers Twitter if Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings beat the 49ers and Sam Darnold just goes off? I might turn Twitter off for the week. Or like the month, because that would be something else.
Yeah. I just think the Vikings defense could give Brock Purdy some trouble early season. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Sam Darnold, you know, he could throw four interceptions, but he also might throw five touchdowns, or maybe JJ McCarthy does that. We'll see.
JJ McCarthy won't throw four interceptions, but he might throw five touchdowns. I'll say that. There's my prediction. All right. Week three at the Los Angeles Rams.
Win, just because they always beat the Rams.
Fair. Week four at home against the Patriots.
Win.
Week five at home against the Cardinals.
Win.
Week six, Thursday night football against the Seattle Seahawks.
I say loss. Mike McDonald is there. Maybe, you know, on a short week, that could be a tough defense to prepare for.
I kind of agree with that. Week seven at home, the Super Bowl rematch against the Chiefs.
I'm going to say loss.
Me too. I just think this is going to be like a thing. Just don't think beating the Chiefs is going to be a thing. Week eight at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
Win.
Then they're on their bye week. Then we head into, I think that makes it week 10, but now that there's a bye week, I'm going to be totally off on that. But the next up is at Tampa.
At Tampa. That could be a trap game. I'll say off a bye is a win. Kyle Shanahan with a bye week, that's going to be a win.
At home against the Seahawks.
Win.
Then at Green Bay.
I'm going to say loss.
And this week is an interesting week because it's at Green Bay. They come back home. It's Thanksgiving week. And then the following weekend at Buffalo for Sunday night football. That, I don't know that that's a win and a win. That's a lot of really brutal travel on a holiday week.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. But, you know, I'm going to say they win that game. I think there's a lot of question marks with the Buffalo Bills, especially with, you know, trading Diggs, which is such a big part of their team. They're kind of in this transition year. I'm going to give the Niners credit. I think they're going to be able to win a close one against Josh Allen.
And did you say Green Bay was a win or a loss?
I said that was a loss.
Okay. Then they're home against the Bears.
That's a win.
Then they're home against the Rams. Monday Night Football.
It's going to be tough beating the Rams twice.
I'm sorry. It's not Monday Night Football. It's okay. Thursday Night Football. It's a short week.
Short week. I'll say loss.
Okay. Then they are away for the Dolphins. Then they're away for the Dolphins.
That's a win. Dolphins just have not proven they could beat good teams yet.
And then for Monday Night Football, they will be home against the Detroit Lions for NFC Championship rematch.
Ooh, that'll be a good game. But I think the Niners will win that one.
And then they go to Arizona to finish out the season and play the Cardinals.
I'm going to say a loss because they're probably going to rest their starters.
Fair. Well, look at that. You weren't even prepared for it, but you lightning round it and were awesome. Ted, thank you very much for joining me today. This was fun. And I'm glad we were able to work together on names and who does what. And I feel like we really bonded through that.
You did. But you got my name right and you spelled it right yesterday. So that was a bigger challenge than Staley.
Yeah, I mean, two Staleys. It's, you know, I think this is going to take everybody a little bit of time to not say Joe. Just maybe it's just me, but I feel like just a little bit of time. Ted, please let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at @FB_film analysis, my YouTube channel, Ted Wynn NFL. And you can read my work at The Athletic.
You guys can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. Our website is FGSN.com. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO. And with that, I will talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.
Treat dad to the good stuff at Nordstrom Rack and save big. Father's Day is Sunday, June 16th, and Nordstrom Rack's got gifts dad will love, up to 60% off. Shirts, activewear, watches, cologne, denim, and more. Find amazing deals on Tommy Bahama, Cole Haan, Original Penguin, and Vince. Great brands, great prices. So get to your Nordstrom Rack store now and make dad's day with gifts up to 60% off.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Veterinarian? It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumbernarian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.